Let's now turn our direction to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 15, which is found on page 26 of those same books. Page 26. We've been going through all the different parts of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have now arrived at his suffering. What do we confess about that? What does the Bible teach about our Lord's suffering? And so let's answer the questions from Lord's Day 15. What do you understand by the word suffered? That all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, he bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of the whole human race, in order that he, with his suffering, as the only atoning sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation, and obtain for us the grace of God, the righteousness, and eternal life. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as a judge? That he, being innocent, might be condemned by the temporal judge, and thereby deliver us from the severe judgment of God to which we are exposed. Is there anything more in this, in his having been crucified, than if he had suffered some other death?
Yes. For thereby, I am assured, that he took upon himself the curse which lay upon me,
because the death of the cross was the curse of God. Congregation, notice the emphasis on that first question on Lord's Day 15. That we recognize that the entirety of Christ's life, in the entirety of Christ's life, he suffered. From the moment he was born of the Virgin Mary, he suffered in the sense that he laid aside his glory, he humbled himself to be a part of his creation, to take on human nature, human flesh. But the Catechism notes that especially at the end, Christ suffered. Now, why does it use that language? Well, it's because it's really making an observation of what the gospel accounts emphasize. Now, the four gospel accounts that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all are written to describe who is Jesus and what did he do in his life. And so, if you look at all those accounts, you notice that there is so much more emphasis, so much time given to the last week of our Lord. Take the Gospel of John, for example. The Gospel of John is made up of 21 chapters. And from the very beginning, it doesn't start with the birth of Jesus, like Matthew and Luke does. When the Gospel of John starts with Jesus' divinity, that he was there in the beginning. He was, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Right? And the Gospel of John also says that he is the Word made flesh. And we, the Apostle John says, we have beheld his glory. And for the rest of the Gospel account describes how or what glory did they see. But out of those 21 chapters of the Gospel of John, almost half of his gospel account is dedicated to the final week of our Lord. Think about it. About 33 years Jesus lived on earth, and half of a gospel account is dedicated to the final week of his life. Why such importance? Well, it's because at the end of Jesus' life, it emphasizes his purpose in coming. Jesus didn't come from heaven to earth in order to show us a better way or to make us a better version of ourselves. He came to save sinners. He came to seek and save the lost. But what kind of suffering was it? Was it just a physical suffering? You know, all the media and all the movies and Hollywood captures the suffering of Jesus quite well in the physical sense. But is that all that Jesus suffered? And the Bible says absolutely not. He didn't just suffer physically or bodily. He suffered in spirit as well, or in his soul. And that's something that no picture, no movie can ever capture. The suffering that Christ endured in his own soul. The scriptures say that it pleased the Lord to crush him on the cross. The scriptures say that he became a curse. He suffered the wrath of his heavenly Father in order to atone for our sins. That's why the Bible pays so much attention to the end of Christ's life. This is not just another martyr. This is God made flesh, taking on the sins of his people in order to rescue us from our everlasting damnation. And when you look at Christ's suffering, what you see is what our sins deserved. Not one moment that Christ suffered or laid aside his glory did he experience that because he deserved it. He did it to show us, this is what your sin deserves. It deserves to be condemned. It deserves to be forsaken. It deserves to become cursed by a holy, just God. We, on the other hand, are so quick to become comfortable with these same sins that our Lord died for. We are so quick to justify our sin. But when the Holy Spirit causes us to be cut to the heart, when we hear the gospel again and again, and he cuts us to the heart, we realize how amazing the grace of Christ, that Christ has obtained for us. Christ was considered guilty on our behalf, that we may be called innocent and righteous before God. Because Christ was forsaken, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Christ wore the crown of thorns so that he can crown you with his loving kindness and tender mercies. Christ sweated drops of blood out of pain in his soul that we may know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Christ tasted death that we may have eternal life and fellowship with the God who has saved us. As 1 John says, what manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed in us that we should be called the children of God? Amen?
Amen, brother.